We want to study a topic tonight that really combines both Chumash, Parsha, and Shulchan Aruch Halacha, and at the same time, Lamedus, good old-fashioned Lamedus. And to top it off, it's about Eretz Yisrael. So that gets me very excited. Okay then? We're going to start with the Mishnah at the end of Ksuvos. You know that all the Gemaras about the love for Eretz Yisrael and so forth are at the end of Ksuvos. And the Mishnah says, Hakol Mailim LeEretz Yisrael. Meaning that within the context of a marriage relationship, a spouse, and it doesn't matter which one, can demand of the other to go to Eretz Yisrael, to take their domicile and literally uproot it and transfer it over to Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa right there on Daf Kuf Amud Beis, and the Braisa says, "Hu omer lalos v'hi omer shelo lalos." If he says to go on to Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and she doesn't want to go to the Gemara, so the Braisa says that he can demand that she live in Eretz Yisrael. Correct. So what's the law? She doesn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Kofin osa lalos. What does kofin mean? We can force her. We can enforce the law within the context of the marriage. V'im lav, and if she refuses despite all the pressure, teitzei below ksuva. She forfeits her ksuva. It's grounds for divorce. He omeris lalos. V'hu omer shalo lalos. Kofin osa lalos. She wants to make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. He refuses. We force him. V'im lav, if he still refuses, he insists he won't go. Yotzi v'yiten ksuva. We can force him to divorce his wife. It's very rare that the halacha says we can force a husband to divorce his wife, but this is one of those cases. And not only that, he starts to pay the ksuva. We're going to soon see that the Rama brings this down the halacha, and the Shulchan Aruch brings this down the halacha. The Rama is in Hilchas Ishus, Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Chaf. Omar Ish Lalos Leretz Yisrael V'hi Eina Rotza Teitzei Below Ksuva. If she refuses to live in Eretz Yisrael, then he divorces her and he is exempt from paying the Ksuva. That means she's out to fend for herself. You know, normally a woman has a Ksuva in order to protect her interests, so that in case he threatens to divorce her, she at least has financial wherewithal to rely on. But here, he's going to divorce her without paying a penny of the Ksuva. And the Rambam continues, Amra hi lalos, v'hueno rotze, yotzi v'yiten ksuva. So you see that the Rambam takes it both ways. Now, why is this very strange in the context of the Rambam? If anybody knows a little bit more about the Rambam in a broader context, why is this halacha that I'm quoting to you in the Rambam a bit of an eye-opener? I mean, it's a chiddush in and of itself that, you know, if one spouse wants to make aliyah, that's grounds for divorce. But particularly within the context of the Rambam.
Because the Rambam doesn't include Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
Correct, the Rambam doesn't include the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and the plaque goes thicker because the Rambam Hilchus Trumos says that Trumos of Maisus Bizman is there only through Rabbanon. And even though Kedusha Rishona is Kidshul Shaita, but it's ain't no Kidshul Asid Lava. So we may have a broad spectrum here of questions to ask on the Rambam. How can the Rambam, on the one hand, postulate and codify the halach and the Gemara and Ksuvos that this is grounds for divorce if one spouse doesn't want to make Eretz Yisrael? We don't even have Eretz Yisrael according to the Rambam, or so we think. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins this halacha, and that you'll see on page 2, in Hilchas Ksuvos, all the way on top of page 2, Simon Ayin Hey. He introduces it, and I didn't copy the entire Simon because that not all of it is relevant to us. But to take a woman out of one country and bring her to another country from one town to another is a real problem. Even if he's going from a Ra to a Yafa, I mean from a kfar, a village, which is considered on a low level to a high level, even so, she gets used to a certain habitat, a certain dwelling. He can't do it against her will. Then the Shulchan Aruch says in the next ksif, if he wants to take her from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, kofin osa lalos. Afilu, he goes even further. Afilu minave yafel inave ra. Even if he's lowering her standard of living by coming to Eretz Yisrael. Afilu mimakom sherov Yisrael. Right, he's taking up from Williamsburg, you know, where it's mostly Jews. Lemakom sheruv they're settling in Caesarea. I don't know in what's it called. I don't know about Ramallah. Okay, that's already pikuach nefesh mamish. But they could settle up in an elite. You know what's it called? Not elite. I meant to say. No, what's it called in the north? Yeah, Nazareth elite. You know, he takes up to Nazareth elite. He's nevertheless he could do so. Amar Eish Lalos, this is in Sifdali, Lerz Yisrov, he ain't a Rotsa. Teitze below Ksuva, Amar He Lalos, or who ain't a Rotsa? Yotze v'yitain Ksuva. V'wed din l'chol makam Eretz Yisrael Yushalayim. Hakol Ma'alim, also to Yushalayim. So from one point of Eretz Yisrael to another, to Yushalayim, is Hakol Ma'ala. And then in Sifhei, well, before we see Sif, hey, let me just show you Tosis and Ksuvis. We started with the Mishnah and Ksuvis. Tosis makes a comment. He says, Eino noig bizman hazeh? Why isn't this halacha relevant? Why isn't it pertinent today? The Ika sakonas drachim. It's very dangerous to make the trek to Eretz Yisrael.
So today, bizman hazeh, it's not. So
excellent. Today, bizman hazeh, we don't have the problem of making this dangerous trek. I mean, again, you know, sometimes El Al is a little bit tricky, but it's still relatively safe. I enjoy flying El Al. It used to be every landing always late, but now they're pretty much on time. I mean, they don't get out on time, but they usually land on time. He says, "V'haya Omer Rabbeinu Chaim." This is the famous Tosis in the name of Chaim. The Achshav, in addition to the problem of security in making Aliyah Teretz, so we have an additional problem. What's that? He says it's very difficult for us to be careful about Trumas of Maisris, about Shemitah, about observing the laws of Tumah V'Tara in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you might get into deep trouble if you go to Eretz Yisrael. So this is the famous Reb Chaim. Okay, this generates an amazing amount of literature, this Reb Chaim. In fact, according to the Avnei Nezer, the Sakan Shavu, this Tosis never existed. This is Mamish, he denies, the Avnei Nezer denies that this Tosis really exists. It was written by a Talmud Torah, and it somehow crept into the published Gemaras. Whatever it might be, this is a very controversial kind of topic. What is the Mechaber saying? Sif Hey, going back to the Mechaber? Yesh Misha Omer, Dahad, the Kofim, Lalos, Leretz Yisrael, Hainu Bide Efshar below Sakana. He's worried about Tosis and Ksuvis. You got to make sure that there's no danger. And therefore, he goes on into details to say how they should travel and when they can travel and so forth and so on. All right. Now, we get to the Chumash part of our discussion. Okay? What's the Chumash part? Well, where does Eretz Yisrael appear for the first time in Chumash? I mean, there's a slight remez in Parshas Bereishis, who's Zahav Ha'aretz Ahito. But the real parsha is what? Is Lechucha. Lechucha me'atzcha me'latzcha ve'savicha l'aretz ha'shareka. So Avraham Avinu gets the tzivui to leave his land, his birthright. In fact, does he know where he's going? L'aretz ha'shareka, some undefined destination. And not only that, I want you to pay attention. When the Torah records that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim, he fulfilled the command of God. How many times does the Torah tell us that? Take a look in the psukim. It says, "Vayom Hashem El Avram Lech Lecha," etc., etc. And then, if you look in pasuk Dalit, "Vayelech Avram Kasher Diber Elav Hashem." You know, the Torah gets very dramatic about the fact that Avram Avinu fulfills the command of God, and he tells us who accompanied Avram on this trip. Lot was the Nachshleper who grabs onto Avram's feet, you know, and comes along. And then skipping the paragraph they inserted, if you take a look at Pasuk Hey, Vayikach Avram es Sarai ishto ves lo ben achiv es koruch sham asher choshes es nefesh subchom Vayetu lo leches arzo. Again, the Torah records that Avram Avinu fulfilled this command. It was apparently one of the 10 nisyonos that Avram Avinu was tested, and he packs his bag. In this case, it says that he brought Sarai with him, which was left out in Pasuk Dalin. And of course, Lot is coming along with him, as we know before. And Vayetsu Lo Leches Eretz Kanan. Notice there's a fundamental difference, this is what the Aruch Chaim points out, between Pasuk Dalin and Pasuk Hey. It's not just repetitive, But in a sense, it's contradictory, because what impression do we get from Sukkim Aleph till Dalet? And in Pasuk Hey, you get the opposite impression. What's the significance? What?
Looks like they know where they're going.
Exactly. Excellent, Michael. In Pasuk Aleph, it says, Ela Oretz Asher Areka. And the Or Chaim says, and I underline the most important part, Shaloh Hodiu Makom Asher Yavo Shama. God deliberately denied Avram Avinu the information as to where his destination was. He's just moving. He's sort of on the move, but where's he going to? The Afal Piche, despite this very ambiguous, confusing command that Avraham Avinu received, Holach Me Arzo, he leaves his familiar territory, his country, his birthplace, V'samach, and he relies on Mashi Odieu Hashem Kishiyirtze, that God will somehow along the way tell him, reveal to him what his destination is.
Does the inclusion of Sarah have something to do with that? All of a sudden,
Excellent. But let's just read one more line in our Chaim, and we'll come back to what you're saying. He says, "V'achar kein hodia hakosuv hotzas es asher imo." Now, it's at this point Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells him where he's going, and now the Torah tells us exactly who accompanies him. Shalonisa Hashem osa bedavar zeh. God no longer is testing them. Maybe he tested Avram, but not them, with this challenge that they don't know where they're going. Ela hodia hamakom v'achar kach yetzu. So according to the Or Chaim, and that's why I placed the Or Chaim, I wedged it here between Pasuk Dalet and Pasuk Hey, there's a fundamental difference between the two stories that the Torah is relating. In story number one, which is in Pasuk Dalet, do they know where they're going? They don't know where they're going. In Pasuk Hey, they clearly know where they're going. And the Or Chaim claims that the challenge was greater to Avram than to everyone else in the entourage, because Avram had no idea where he's going, and immediately, without hesitation, he gets up, he packs his bags, and he leaves. However, to impose that kind of level of tribulation on the shoulders of the rest of his entourage, that would be too much. And therefore, Vayikach Avram, who's taking the initiative here, and maybe it's more than just an initiative, as we'll soon see in the name of the Zohar, and he takes his wife, and he takes his nephew, and he takes his rechush, and kol ha-nefesh asher osu b'char. Now they know where they're going. So in between Pasuk Dalet and Pasuk Hey, they find out where they're going. What's the destination? One last pasuk that I want to call to your attention. At the end of this parasha, Pasuk Vav, Vayavar Avram ba'aretz ad makom shechem al alon moreh, v'haknani oz ba'aretz. So Rashi points out, why did the Torah have to go out of its way to tell us Haknani Ozbaretz, that the land was being occupied by the Knanim? Says Rashi, they were more than just occupiers, they were also aggressors. Hayaholech v'koveshes Eretz Yisrael, the Knanim were moving through the land and sweeping through the land, conquering it, mizaro shalshem. You almost get the impression that according to Rashi, Avraham Avinu's additional challenge here was not just leaving his birthplace, not just not that he didn't know where he wasn't told where he's going, but on top of that, he's in a very dangerous land, because the Knanim are out there on the warpath to conquer Eretz Yisrael, Mizaro Shel Shem. Avraham is Mizaro Shel Shem. So maybe if we take the Tosis of Reb Chaim's Tosis there, that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael doesn't apply if you're a dangerous situation, then Avraham Avinu has had the additional challenge of Haknani Ozbaretz. But what I really want to call to your attention is the Zohar. Now, I'm not such a big expert in Zohar, but all the Mefarshim, the Magen Avraham, then the Meshech Chochma, and the Chavetz Elis HaSharon, and who did I leave out, and a whole bunch of others, they all are bothered by this comment in the Zohar. The Zohar says, Vayikach Avram. What does it mean, Vayikach? Why does the Torah have to say Vayikach? Mao Vayikach? Now, normally the word Vayikach implies that you take someone and you schlep them along, where they want to or they don't. He says, what does Vayikach mean? Here it doesn't mean he schlepped her along. Ela Amshech Leish, he wooed her, he wooed her, he enticed her, he convinced her, he persuaded her. Bimile mal yaisa, with beautiful words, He charmed her. Excellent. Began because the lesla reshu lebnei noach li afka asisasa. I'm sorry, not lebnei noach, lebarnash. My mistake. A man doesn't have reshus to take his woman, his wife, out of a place and resettle her. Lemeach bi arachrina, to take her and resettle in another land, below Reusa Dile, without her consent. So in other words, the Zohar is claiming that Avraham Avinu was in a bind. Because on the one hand, he got the command from on high, he's got to go and pack out. On the other hand, the law is that it's not acceptable in a marriage relationship to take, wait, just give me 1 minute, Neil, so I don't lose my train of thought. It's not within the marriage, the confines of marriage, to what? To take your wife and resettle her elsewhere. Take her out of her natural habitat. Without her permission, says the Zohar. Don't think the word vayikach means that he took her forcefully. He dragged her to Eretz Yisrael. No. Lacha v'dvarim. Sometimes the word lekicha means lekicha. He persuaded her, he charmed her in order to get her to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, Neil.
By Korach.
Yeah, by Korach you saw it.
But isn't it like Asei Doche Lo Tase? Like, wouldn't he be allowed to force her?
Well, forget about Asei Doche Lo Tase. I mean, I thought you'd ask a more fundamental question based on the source material that we've discussed tonight. Correct. We spoke about the Mishnah Ksuvas, Ribbono Shel Olam, and all the Mefarshim jump on the Zohar. The Mishnah Ksuvas says that true, even though you can't just take your wife and forcefully move her from one place to the other, so you want to go from which way is it, the north to the south or the south to the north? Okay, we're going to have a machlokes achronim over here, but at different parts of Toronto, you can't just do that, says the Zohar. Therefore, Avraham Avinu had to be Moshe Chal Bidvar Vayik Chal Bidvarim. What about the fact that there's one fundamental exception halachically to that rule? Namely, that when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, it's called Ma'ilim Eretz Yisrael. And there's a law of kfiyah. Certainly a husband can demand from his wife that she go to Eretz Yisrael. So what, now,
Was the
key
of the Torah on just the
avot,
or just on the
emot
as well?
Okay. That's going to be the Meshach Chochmah. You're very hot, Joe, tonight. But I got to move slowly here. First, I want to point out why this Zohar fits in so beautifully with the Or HaChaim, just in terms of what I call Parshanut, in terms of reading the Parsha. Because notice that, According to the Archaim, you really have to wedge something in between the beginning of the parasha and the last part of the parasha. Meaning, Vayikach is a turning point because at this point, Avraham Avinu can take his family along. According to the Archaim, until Vayikach, he doesn't know where he's going. Hashem hasn't revealed the destination. You can't force your family to go. That would be too difficult of a trial.
But Lot was already going.
Lot was growing, so the Archaim, I didn't print the Archaim on this page. He has a full discussion about Lot, what Lot's interests were. He wasn't all holy rollers. But leave that as it may. So now we have a real kasha, because if the Zohar is to be understood in the light of the Archaim's pshat in the pasuk, meaning Vayikach Avram, and sorry, Ishto, is after he knows already where he's going. So the destination is clearly where? Eretz Kanaan, Eretz Yisrael. No, if it's Eretz Yisrael, why does he have to charm her? Why can't he take her even against her will? And the Archaim goes out of his way to say that you have to interpret Vayikach, that he convinced her, he persuaded her, because otherwise, within the bounds of marriage, he couldn't do it. You can't just uproot your wife and take her to a different place without her rishus. So he had to get her rishus. And he had to get her rishus at a moment where he knew he was going to Eretz Kanaan. You see, if not for the fact that we have the Archaim, and we know the Vayikach means he knew the destination, so then the Zohar is beautiful, and none of the kashas that the Mefarshim ask on the Zohar begin, they don't get off the ground. Because since Avraham Avinu didn't know he was going to Eretz Kanaan, so it has a din of taking your wife from one country to the other, one city to the other, one province to the other, you can't do that without his reshus, the Vayikach has to be lakhev b'dvarim. But now that we understand the Vayikach Avraham is because lo leches arzo kanaan. For the test upon the others, you had to know where you were going. Once he knew where he's going, then why does the Zohar feel compelled to take Vayikach out of its normal pshat And said Vayikach doesn't mean that he took her, he persuaded her. Why? What about the Mishnah and Ksuvis?
I thought Vayikach, whenever it's talking about people, always means Bidvarim. Isn't there a Rashi summer?
No, that's the exception to the rule. In general, Vayikach means to take someone Balkarch. Sure. In fact, even in marriage itself, the Gemara has a half of, you know, that maybe you can marry a woman Balkarch because it says Vayikach. And the Gemara has to work out the fact that there's a Kenyan, and since it's a Kenyan, there's no Kenyan Balkarch, etc., etc. But we can do a research project on that, Neil, in any event. But you get the impression from the Zohar, when the Zohar opens up with the words, my vayikach, it means, can he take a balkarcho? Ella, it doesn't mean that. But rather, lokheu bidvar, lokheha bidvar. Good. So again, we're going to see all the mafarshim asking this question, why does the Zohar feel that Avraham Avinu could not take his wife, Sarai Teretz Canaan, against her will? But rather he had to persuade her. Why is that so? Rav Avadi Yosef is so impressed by this kasha that if you take a look in Yechaveh Das, he says that there was no special status at that moment in time to Eretz Yisrael. El Avadai. You know what? Let's read through the entire paragraph. Vayikach Avram Esarei Ishtoma Vayikach. He quotes the Zohar, verbatim, the Kasha. Hello, Mishnah Shlema Shaninu. Again, Rav Avadi Yosef is not the first one to ask this Kasha on the Zohar. It's way before. The Magen Avraham, 500 years earlier, asked the Kasha. It's not 500 years, but anyway, he almost 400 years. Hey, he asked the Kasha. Hello, Mishnah Shlema Shaninu, I call my own Eretz Yisrael. V'chein Nifzak B'tur, B'Shulchan Aruch, Eved Ezer. I don't know why he drops the Rambam here. El Avadai D'Shani Hocha. True. A husband could coerce his wife to make aliyah. Here it's different in the case of Avram Shadayin Lonis Kacha Eretz Yisrael. Now this is a very heavy premise that Adayin Lonis Kacha Eretz Yisrael. First of all, it could be that Eretz Yisrael had Kedusha from the time of creation. And even if you say not like that, but certainly at the time of the Avos. And to say that at this moment it didn't have, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing him to a land that's equal to all the other lands, I don't know. In any event, just make a mental note of Rav Avadi Yosef. It's not part of my Shia tonight. It's not at all part of my Shia tonight. I'm just mentioning it to you for the Shlemus HaDavar, because honesty is the best policy. I don't like to deny you information, even though we're definitely not going to accept his premise. So, the Magen Avraham is going to answer this question on the Zohar based on the Reb Chaim in Tosfos and Ksuvos with the Rashi of Uknani Oz Ba'aretz. And basically he's going to say that the reason why Avram couldn't force Sarah is because who is crawling and sweeping through the land of Eretz Yisrael? The Canaan, what do they look like? They look like the old time pagan warriors that you've seen in the movies. They, you know, you didn't want to mess around with those Canaanim. And therefore Reb Chaim says, Tosfos says at the end of Ksuvos, that the halacha of Hakol Malin doesn't apply when you expose your spouse to the dangers of in this case, of an attacking army, of a belligerent force. So that's one way of explaining the Zohar. I frankly speaking, I have problems with this Magen Avraham, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to go to Eretz Canaan. You all remember the famous Ramban also in Parshas Lech Lecha, that at the time of the famine Avraham left Eretz Canaan, and the Ramban takes him to task for that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to stay in Eretz Canaan. I never told him to leave. Here also, I don't know if security issues would play a role when you have a specific nevuah. You know, God zaps you. You know, like Noach built a teva. You know, so Noach says, you know, are you really serious, God? You know, and the famous Bill Cosby, you know, well, Noah, how long can you tread water? You know, kind of thing. You know, that kind. But in any event, Avraham Avinu was zapped with, you know, Lech Lecha L'Aretzecha, go to Eretz Canaan. So I don't know if Avraham Avinu would have been able to hide behind the Tosfos at the end of the Ksuvos. Not that I don't know if he knew the Tosfos at the end of the Ksuvos, but if he did, I don't know if that would have, but that's how the Magen Avraham goes. The Meshech Chachma says something fascinating. This is what Joe was saying before. Let's read the Meshech Chachma inside. Mao Vayikach. This is the next to last source on page 1. And he quotes the Zohar. Vitzarech Iyud. Again, this kasha was asked by the Magen Avraham a few centuries earlier. Ha Eretz Yisrael mitzvah. Vekofe ha ish es ha ish alalos. He says, what about the halacha of kofe? And by the way, he proves without even knowing that Rav Avad Yosef would come 80 years later and say what he says, he proves that even at that time, there was a Kedusha, Teretz Yisrael, because Vayimi Ketz Esa Shana, the Gemara says in Yevamos, that because of the yeshiva of Eretz Yisrael, therefore Avraham Avinu would be able to have children. So you see that there was a special status to Eretz Yisrael. So I underline the last line in this Meshech Chochmah, because that's the punchline. He says, V'yitochem, and it's possible, D'rak Avraham Haya Mitzuveh B'mitzvahs Lech Lecha. V'sara lo haisa mitzuvah. V'achem lo haya yachol lachuf osa. Says the Meshech Chochma, there's a difference here between Avram and Sarah. Avram got the tzivui, Sarah did not. And therefore, halach of kfiyah doesn't apply. This, my friends, is very, very difficult. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Meir Simcha, but here, I have to raise my hands. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Because one of the brachas of Rum is you're going to be a great nation. You can't be a great nation without a wife, without kids. So
that's right.
That's
right. She has to, in other words, she has to support her husband. But I want to tell you even more, that Chaim, in all the poskim, the thrust of this halach of kofen osa is because the husband has to fulfill his mitzvah. There was never a discussion about whether she has the mitzvah and she shares it with him. And not only that, the halacha goes in both ways. In other words, according to all the poskim, the halacha of kofen osa is because of his obligation. I never saw anywhere in any poskim that we have to alleviate, that we have to rescind his ability, his rights to force her to go to Eretz Yisrael because she doesn't have the obligation. That's very, very difficult. In any event, yeah, go ahead.
The Gemara also said that she could force him, no?
Yeah, she could force him. So the Meshech Chochmah is going to say she could force him after the mitzvah was given to all of Klal Yisrael. So since the mitzvah is given to all Klal Yisrael, now a woman shares the mitzvah. But at that time, it was only given to Avram through Nevuah, Lech Lecha. She didn't have the Nevuah, she didn't have the Tzivui, and therefore the Kofa doesn't apply. But trust me, Roni, if you really learn the Sugya in Ksubis and the poskim here, and there's a Velta poskim on this issue, we'll see some of them tonight. In Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ezer, Siman Ayin Hey, which I'm very excited that we're learning that tonight, because we're learning Evan Ezer now this year. We're dedicating this year, Second Seder in the Kol, to learn Evan Ezer. So it's really something that pushes me to learn that Siman in Hilchas Ksuvas. They all say that this is his right because of his obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael, his attraction to Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. All this applies even if she would not have the same status as him. Because of his status, he has the right to be Kofa. So on both sides, what I'd like to do now, in order to explain this Zohar, is to really begin to analyze the whole question of Kofen Osolalos. What is this all about? Why does a husband have rights to force his wife to make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael? And I think what's going to open up in front of our eyes, right before our eyes, is a split. Two roads diverged in the yellow wood. You're going to have one shita and another shita on a fundamental issue about what this is all about. And I think it could have tremendous repercussions. Let's start with the tashbetz. The tashbetz, which you'll see on page 2, says clearly that the yesod, meaning the underlying principle or reasoning behind the principle of forcing a spouse to make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, is because not of the chiyuv mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but rather because of the mitzvos hatluyos be'Eretz Yisrael. And he proves it. How does he prove it? You can't force your wife to go from Galil to Yehuda.
This is like exactly the opposite of the Tosfos.
Exactly opposite of the Tosfos. He says, because from the perspective of mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz, there's a halacha of chovas karka that any agricultural mitzvah applies to Eretz Yisrael. Which part of Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael divided up into three provinces. There's Galil, There's Yehuda, there's Eivar Yaretin. What if he wants to take it from one province to the other? And what if he wants to take it from one province to another, even though there may be a Tosefes Kedusha? There's even a greater sanctity. And maybe even a greater mitzvah. He says that's irrelevant. We don't find that you could force your wife to move from Galil to Yehuda. Just one second, we'll get to Yerushalayim. I need a few minutes. Says it Tashbeitz, because since the Yesod HaYesodos of Kofras HaLalos is Mitzvos HaTluyos Ba'aretz, all of Eretz Yisrael is the same. What we do with Yerushalayim according to Tashbeitz is a problem. But all of Eretz Yisrael is the same. Therefore, says the Tashbeitz, that we want to fulfill the Mitzvos HaTluyos Ba'aretz. Ein Malin Me'evra Yardin LeYehuda, even though Yehuda has more Kedusha than Eivar HaYarden. But it doesn't matter. If the mitzvah atulius ba'aretz apply in Eivar HaYarden, then there's no din of kfir. Because she can already claim we're already obligated and we are already fulfilling the mitzvahs atulius ba'aretz. Because they apply even in Eivar HaYarden. True, the Kedusha of Eivar HaYarden is inferior to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael proper. But nevertheless, if the Mitzvah Tluyos Ba'aretz apply in both, then the Halacha of Kfiyah is suspended. The Halacha of Kfiyah will apply from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael because of those special mitzvahs that apply in Eretz Yisrael and don't apply in Chutz La'aretz. So a woman can say to a husband and he to her, either way, I want to fulfill the mitzvah tluyos ba'aretz, the trumos and the maisros and the leket shikrim peah and shmita and yovel and bikurim. Therefore, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Tashbeitz, that's the basis for my ability of kofar. There's a whole chunk of mitzvahs that I want to fulfill. You can't rob them away. You can't steal them. And therefore, kofar is. The Chassam Sofer, on the other hand, has a whole different approach. Says the Chassam Sofer, he's aware of the Tashbeitz. He says, L'chora mashma lo mishum mitzvah hatluyos be'eretz Yisrael v'yushalayim kofer. See how he adds Yushalayim, Joe, because he's worried about your problem. There are certain mitzvahs that only apply in Yushalayim. For example, the mitzvah achilas ma'aser, sheni b'sharecha, you're not allowed to take it out of Yushalayim. And so too, the mitzvah of achilas neter avai is only in Yerushalayim. No, so again, if I would postulate, as the Tashbeitz would have it, that I could force my wife because I want to fulfill certain mitzvahs, then it makes sense that I could say to my wife, there are certain mitzvahs I can only fulfill in Yerushalayim.
No, but that's a mitzvah on everybody who lives in Eretz Yisrael to go up to Yerushalayim. It's not a mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim. You've got to make that aliyah, right? I can't.
Yeah, but she doesn't want to make that schlep. You know, she doesn't want to schlep from
every yontif to go up, right? That's not a question of yishu, right?
Good. So the same thing. The same thing. If she wants to fulfill the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel, shalosh pa'am v'shan. So you say, well, yeah, I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I can fulfill the mitzvah aliyah l'regel, but she doesn't want, you know, that's a great imposition. So on certain occasions, she can't make that trek, or whatever it might be. Especially in those days. You know, it's not like today, you take an egged bus and you're there.
Make sure you get the right egg.
Yeah, that's true. And then sometimes you have to take dan, that's even more challenging. Now they have trains. Yeah. You can go from Kfar Chabad to Yerushalayim in a matter of 40 minutes. You know what I mean? There's a trade from Herzliya to Yerushalayim even. Even Herzliya is becoming a holy place. So let's get back to the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, L'chora, mashma, when we're talking about this halacha kfiya, lo mishum mitzvos hatluyim be'eretz Yisrael v'Yerushalayim kofin. The yisod, the basis, and the machayev of kfiya is not mitzvos hatluyim be'eretz Yisrael. But rather, ela mishum kedusha atzma. The inherent kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. V'chol adar v'chutz l'aretz dome k'mishein lo aloka.
That's really scary. You know, like, what does that really mean?
That means, according to the Ramban, that God has a certain direct link to what goes on in Eretz Yisrael. That's a divine providence that is not through an intermediary. Every single country on the face of the earth has its sarim, you know, it's somehow its celestial officers, and God delegates certain authority to them, and that's how the Ashpah comes down from Eretz Yisrael. But Al Pi Kabbalah, the Ramban says that in the case of Eretz Yisrael, it's direct. You are under direct scrutiny and directly connected to the Kedushas HaShechinah of Eretz Yisrael. So again, according to the Chassam Sofer, what would be if the mitzvah Tluyas Baretz could not be fulfilled? Would there still be Allah of Kfiyah? Yes, according to Tashbetz.
No.
This is going to be very relevant, because if Tosfos says at the end of Ksuvos that today we can't be Zoyer in the mitzvah Tluyas Baretz, would we still find ourselves in Eretz Yisrael? According to the Chassam Sofer, yes. The Tashbetz is very much along the line of Tosfos at the end of Ksuvos, who says that in his first opinion that the reason for Milin Le'Eretz Yisrael is because of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which doesn't apply if the Sakonis Drachim. So according to the Tashbetz, everything is focused on mitzvahs. If the mitzvah is suspended, then there's no din of kfir. But according to some, so forget about mitzvahs. It's a question of where you want to live. It's a question of diur. In some cases, the need for diur in a particular makom is so fundamental that I have a right of kfir. Why is the diur in Eretz Yisrael so fundamental? Why is it the oxygen that I have to breathe? Because hadar b'chutz l'aretz doma k'mishein lo aloka. Because Eretz Yisrael is endowed with a certain inherent sanctity. And therefore, according to Chassam Sofer, since Eretz Yisrael is sanctified with an inherent Kiddusha, that's Kiddusha Olamis, therefore the halacha of Kofim will apply in all times. Then he quotes the Tashbetz. If you take a look in the third line, the fourth line, he says, Udelo kemashma mi Tashbetz hanal. Not the way the Tashbetz would have it, that it all depends upon mitzvot hanogos Eretz Yisrael, but rather it depends on kedusha. So let's go back for a moment before we summarize the Chassam Sofer to the Rambam in Hilchos Trumas. The Rambam in Hilchos Trumas says that we don't have the kedusha of the mitzvah of Truma Bizman Hazeh. Truma Bizman Hazeh Eretz Yisrael is only Darabanan; it's not Doraisa. So if that be the case on a Doraisa level, if the Rambam holds that the mitzvah Tluyas Baretz cannot be fulfilled bizman hazeh after Golus, then what would be about the halacha of Kofin? Would it apply? If you accept the Tashbetz, that the whole reason for Kofin is because I want to fulfill those mitzvahs, according to the Rambam, it shouldn't apply. And yet the Rambam himself, as we saw in Hilchos Ishus, applies the halacha of Kofin. So we have to now re-strengthen our question here. We double that question on the Rambam. And the Rambam, excuse me, leaves out the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam and Hilchos Trumas. So again, that the first Rambam is his enumeration of the mitzvahs. He doesn't have Eretz Yisrael in the mitzvahs, in the Targum mitzvahs. That's number one. The Megillas Esther says in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs that according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael doesn't apply after the Gimel Shmuas at the Gemara there that says Lo Yalu Al Choma, whatever it might be. So why Kofin? Why does the Rambam quote Kofin? Question number two: if we accept the Tashbetz that the Yisod of Kofin is Mitzvah Tluyas Baretz, the Rambam holds the Mitzvah Tluyas Baretz today don't apply. So why does the Rambam quote the Halach of Kofin? But if I hold like Chassam Sofer, then there's an inherent Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. And that's the place I want to live. And that halacha that I want to live in Eretz Yisrael, I gravitate to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, applies for all times, because the Kedusha is the Kedusha Olam is. Then the halacha of Kofin applies, even Bizman Hazeh. Even if I grant you that there won't be a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael today, according to the Rambam, which I'm not sure if that's so, but let's grant it. And even if I tell you that the mitzvah to these parts would not apply today in Eretz Yisrael, I would still insist that there's halach of kofin according to the Chassam Sofer, because the halach of kofin is not based on mitzvahs, but rather based on kedusha. And let's summarize the Chassam Sofer. Masha yesh tchus lachuf li Eretz Yisrael. The fundamental underlying reasoning that of the halach that one spouse can force the other, ein ze mishum mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz, ela mishum mailas kedushas aretz. Oh, I love that word maila. You know that Eretz Yisrael has a maila; it's on a higher level. She inyon gadol hu ladur be'Eretz Yisrael. This is Chassam Sofer from Prejburg, you know, but nevertheless, he's talking about inyon gadol ladur be'Eretz Yisrael. Furthermore, the Chassam Sofer writes, af lefi a Rambam, Bilchus Trumas Perek Alpha Lochavot, Dibizman Ezeh Bot Lochovus Mitzvah Tluyus Ba'aretz, Al Kolze, even nevertheless, Yochal Abal Loch of the Rambam Paskins Al Locha of the ability of a Baal to force his wife, Lalos Eretz Yisrael, Hoil, why? V'kedushas ha-mokom lo b'teila. Beautiful, beautiful. Kedushas ha-mokom lo b'teila. But wait a second. If kedushas ha-mokom lo b'teila, so why does the Rambam say that the mitzvahs ha-tulis parts no longer apply? Says the Chassam Sofer, ki lo batla ela kedushas ha-aretz sheniskhad shebishas kibush aretz. When Yoshua conquered Eretz Yisrael, the act of Kibush, the conquest, generated, produced a Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, as far as the Mitzvah Tzlis Ba'aretz. That Kedusha is Betela. Why? Because the Kibush of Yoshua was gone. We went into Golus. Ach Kedusha Sa'aretz, but there was a Kedusha Sa'aretz that predates Yoshua's Kibush. Kvar Noga Lifnei Kibush Aretz. Ki Hikayemis Mizana Avos V'chulei. So already from the time of the Avos, there's a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is the place which God chose on, of all the geographical locations on the face of the earth, with a special relationship of Eini Hashem Elokecha Bami Reishis Hashanah Achris Hashanah. That inherent Kedusha dates back way before Yoshua and no longer depends upon Kibush and Kiddush. So I would like to sharpen this up a little bit. Meaning, I want to give a little bit of a discussion here about two aspects of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. One aspect of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael we'll call inherent. It's there. It's the Makom HaShoras HaShechina. It's a Kedusha Olamis. It predates Yoshua. And then there's another dimension of Kedusha, which I call a Halachic Kedusha. Not the Kedusha that's inherent. Not the Kedusha that reflects HaShoras HaShechina. But rather the Kedusha that is halachic, that's produced by a certain action, and when that action is removed, the Kedusha is removed. And that second dimension of Kedusha is the Kedusha for mitzvahs hatluyos be'Eretz Yisrael. If you're talking to me about living in Eretz Yisrael, if you're talking about dira be'Eretz Yisrael, the makom Kedusha, the makom of Ashras Hashchina, that is not dependent upon the same Kedusha, the same concept of Kedusha, which is halachic in nature, that engenders the mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz. And therefore the Chassam Sofer is 1,000% correct when he says that even if the second Kedusha, the halachic Kedusha, that is effectuated by Kibush, is gone, is lifted, and even if the mitzvah hatluyos ba'aretz therefore can no longer be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael, that has nothing to do with the inherent Kedusha in the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael. It's very avira Eretz Yisrael is infused, is saturated with Kedusha.
Is that the karka, or is that what you're referring to?
Not the karka, I mean the air that you breathe in Eretz Yisrael. The karka is the second halacha of kibush, of kiddush, linyan mitzvah satulis baretz. Even if the Kedusha's karka has lifted the inherent Kedusha of the atmosphere, I mean, in Chassidus they have lots of different words for this, that Kedusha never leaves. It's perpetual. And that's the Kedusha that according to Chassam Sofer is the basis for the halacha of Kofin. The Ma'arit, by the way, another Meshiv in Shuvas from 5 centuries ago, he also, I think, takes the approach of the Chassam Sofer. He says the Ikar Atam.
Would you say that? I'm sorry that second kedusha, the first kedusha, is the kedusha of the Shechina?
Which yes, absolutely. And that kedusha Shechina emanates from the Kodesh Kadoshim throughout all of Eretz Yisrael.
Well, you can tell, you know, especially Erev Shabbos, you know, how it feels so different. than anywhere else you'll ever experience Shabbos. You know what I'm saying?
So there's intuitive sense of this kedusha. You can really intuit it. You know, so whether you're not Yemafis, Shrubas, and Mises, Midrash or not, you know, that's already a love to Shaila. That depends upon the Mises Kiddush and Golus, and whether Golus removes that Kiddush, and whether Kiddushah Rishayna, and Kiddushah Shnia, Kiddushah Shaita, Vik, Kiddushah Lost Love. Those are different discussions. But there's another aspect of Eretz Yisrael which is inherent, which is by definition, it's existential, it's metaphysical, it's inherent in the land of Eretz Yisrael, it's a Makom Asher Asah Shechina, and that doesn't depend on Kiddush as a halachic entity,
right.
Says the Shut Marit, Ikar Hatam, the main reason underlying this halach of kfir that one spouse could force the other to live in Eretz Yisrael, Mishum Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Umisras Yeshivasu Afilu Bizman Azeh B'Churbana, meaning even though there's Churban, nevertheless there's an inherent Kedusha which generates the mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. That mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael is not dependent upon Kiddush as far as Truvas of Maisus is concerned. And he quotes the Ramban on the Pasuk V'yirishtev Osav Yishavtem, but I think we've discussed this Ramban in the past, who says that this mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael, which is Shkula Kineged Kol mitzvah, applies in every single generation. And of course the Ramban attacks, he pounces upon the Rambam for omitting it from the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And the Arid continues, and he says, "V'imishum kiyum haMitzvos hatluyos ba." If you were to say that the husband forces his wife to make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael within the framework of marriage in order to fulfill the mitzvah hatluyos ba, isha maya vidita. How would she be able to force him to make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael because of the mitzvah hatluyos ba? This is a very sharp argument to the Arid. The mitzvah say, "Lusha teich kofes ha'ish lalos." Hare amru beper kama the kedushin. And look at the creative mind of the Marit. The Gemara in kedushin says, as far as the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, ish yesh safek biyado lasos, isha ein safek biyad ein safek biyado lasos. Why is a woman limited? Her wings are clipped as far as the mitzvah of kibud av va'em if she's married. Because in terms of the mitzvos that have to be fulfilled, primarily she's under the aegis of the husband. He's the Rishus Acher Moleh. So in other words, she cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Avayim properly because of her Rishus Acher Moleh. By the way, that only applies after she's married.
It doesn't apply today either, but anyway.
Okay, Metzius maybe. You're being cynical about it. But in halachic terms, it is so. But only as far as Kibud Av Va'Em after marriage. For example, I had an issue of Kibud Av Va'Em before I got married. My in-laws wanted us to get married at a certain time, and it was going to complicate my matters for Kol learning and so forth and so on. So we asked Rav Soloveitchik what to do. So he said that the mitzvah Kibud Av Va'Em comes first. So I said, but Rebbe, Rishus Acher Moleh, you know. So he says, well, you're not married yet. You're only engaged. So until after the marriage, my wife-to-be, had the primary obligation of Kibud Av Va'Em. But in any event, you see one thing, that after marriage, because of this Rishus Acher Moleh, she has to give up, she has to forfeit the great mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Em. How much more so the mitzvah of Trumas of Maisers? And he adds the halach of kovash akonsa isha kind of bile, that primarily the mitzvah tliyus parts of Truman's my son comes upon him and not on her. So how could she force him to make aliyah to Eretz because of mitzvah tliyus parts? The iuhu de machayv mitzvah tliyus pekak velohi velama tochav is bile lalos Eretz Yisrael. And he brings other proofs and he goes on and on, until finally he concludes that the Iker reason for the halach of kfiya is not the mitzvah satluyas bar, it's the way the Tashbates would have it, but rather the kedushas Eretz Yisrael, the dira in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the way the Chassam Sofer would have it. And my friends, this really all comes down to a machlokes, I think, between Tosus and the Ritva about Akko. You know, at the beginning of Masechta Gittin on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, there's a discussion about a get that's carried by a shliach from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. And the question is, what are the bounds of Eretz Yisrael? So the Mishnah at the very beginning of Gittin, enumerates the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, and then Afkamin is whether the Shliach has to say Mefanei Nechta, Mefanei Nechta, without going into all the details of it. The Mishnah mentions Akko, and the question is whether Akko is in Eretz Yisrael or is in Chutz Laretz. So Tosis says that as far as the status of Akko is concerned, Akko is Chutz Laretz. Why? Because you remember that Eretz Yisrael was conquered by the Jewish people on two historical occasions. I mean, we're not talking about the 48 war. Mm-hmm. But historically, we have Yoshua, that's Kibush Rishon, and then we have the second Kibush, anybody know what that's called? Olei Bavel, exactly, Ezra Nechemiah. So at the time of Kibush Olei Bavel, if you go through the Psukim, again, Eretz Yisrael was much smaller, much more limited in size. Is Akko was not conquered, excuse me, I take that back, was not settled by the Olei Bavel. Therefore, Tosis comes to the conclusion that Akko has a din of Chutz Laretz, and a Shliach who's bringing a get from Akko into Eretz Yisrael proper would have to recite the formula, B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechta. Tosis therefore builds another Nafkemina. The halacha is hamocher avdol lechutz laretz is kofen also. We force him to be meshacher as eved shemafki also meretz Yisrael. He's taking his eved out of Eretz Yisrael and putting him in chutz laretz. He sells him to someone in chutz laretz. So we force him to be meshacher the eved. We're not going to recognize such a sale. So Tosa says if he sells him to Akko, then he'd be selling him to chutz laretz. Tosa basically comes to the conclusion that the status of Akko is the status of Chutz Laretz, and why? Because it wasn't conquered, it wasn't settled, rather, by Olei Bavel at the time of Ezra Nechemiah. What does Tosis mean to say? The longest of Tosis is that Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Shaitav Alo Kitchel Asid Lava, which means that when Nebuchadnezzar threw the Jewish people out and we went into exile, then the Kibush of Yoshua was batel. And therefore, once the Kibush is batel, the Kedusha is batel. And therefore the mitzvahs hatlus baretz no longer are no goes. When did the Kedusha come back to be reinstated? At the time of Olei Bavel. At the time of Ezra Nechemiah. From that time on, Kedusha Shnia, Kinshel Shaito, perhaps, Kinshel Asid Lava. That's Machlokas, the Rama might pass in Kinshel Asid Lava. But only in those areas that were settled by Olei Bavel. Says Tosis that since Akko was not settled by Olei Bavel, the Kedusha of Yoshua can't be relevant because that was battle with Churban. Elo, the Kedusha of Olei Bavel, the Kedusha of Olei Bavel did not include Akko. Akko was left out. So according to Tosis, what's the basis for the halacha of Chutz Laretz? And it applies even in the case of Mocher Avdol Chutz Laretz. It all depends on Kedusha le'inyan ha-mitzvahs ha-tluyos for Eretz Yisrael. But the Ritva argues, says the Ritva right there at the beginning of Gittin, Iser Yitziyah me'Eretz Yisrael chutzot lo talya b'kibush olei bavel. This halacha that you can't leave Eretz Yisrael to go to chutzot, and therefore if you sell your eved to chutzot, you have to be shachar him. That doesn't apply. That doesn't depend upon Kibush Olei Bavel, Ela Bechibas Ha'aretz Talia. Beautiful phrase. Chibas Ha'aretz Talia. Vechibas Ha'aretz Hibamesh Ahuvtachol Avoseinu. Velo Bamesh Kavshu Olei Bavel. Ume Achar Sha'ako Humina Aretz Hamuvteches. Also Lotzis Menel Chutz Laretz. And therefore, the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael would apply, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael would apply to Akko. So let's understand. In Tosis' frame of reference, when we're defining Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, we are circumscribed by the Olei Bavel, meaning the geographic locations that were settled by Olei Bavel. Because what's that criterion for Eretz Yisrael? How do we gauge Eretz Yisrael? How do we measure it? By Mrs. Hatulis Baretz. If Akko was not included in the Hisyashvus, in the settlement of Olei Bavel, therefore there's no Kiddush of Kedusha Shnia. Therefore, the mitzvah Tlius Baritz no longer apply in Akko. And therefore, if you sell him to Akko, the sell the Yevet to Akko, is you being mafkia him from the mitzvah Tlius Baritz? That's according to Tos. So once again, Tos's definition of Eretz Yisrael is limited. It is circumscribed by Oleg Bava. Comes along the Ritva, he says, no, Eretz Yisrael is much broader than that. Eretz Yisrael doesn't depend upon mitzvah satzlius baritz. It depends upon what he calls chibas aretz, which I believe is identical to the phrase that was employed by the Chassam Sofer when he called it kedushas Eretz Yisrael,
right,
which is identical to the other phrase which we spoke about, makom hashras hashchira, which is identical to the concept of Eretz Yisrael Muftechas Lavoseinu, which is a much larger area. Geographically, the mounds of Eretz Yisrael, as was promised to the Avos, are much larger and wider than they are as far as Olei Bavel. Olei Bavel settled in a very small percentage of Eretz Yisrael. Everything else has, according to the Ritva, the status of Eretz Yisrael, not because of the mitzvah of Tlius Baretz. The Ritva knows very well that the mitzvah tlius baritz depends upon Kibush Yoshua, or depends on Olei Bavel, and therefore Akko is certainly chutzarts from the perspective of mitzvah tlius baritz. The Ritva is not arguing with Tosfos about that, but the Ritva holds that the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, of Yishuv Beretz Yisrael, and therefore the Isra of leaving Eretz Yisrael, and the Isra of selling an Evet to Chutzlaritz, all depends not on Eretz Yisrael of Holy Bavel, but Eretz Yisrael Amuvtechas Ilonu Me'avoseinu. Beautiful. So if you mafkia yourself not from the mitzvahs, but you mafkia yourself from the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, that is the Isra of Yitziah Me'eretz Yisrael B'Chutzlaritz, and that would apply any area that's within the promised land, as we would say, namely the land as it was defined by the boundaries as given, as promised to the office. But let's just summarize three nafkaminas between Tosis and the Ritva, or between the Chassam Sofer and the Marit and the Tashbates. According to Tosis, and we'll throw in the Tashbates, one nafkamina would be whether the din of kofin would apply if the mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz are suspended. According to Tosfos and Tashbates, the answer to that question is clearly no. You can't be kofer unless you can say that by resettling in a land where I can fulfill so many and so many mitzvos, I have the privilege, I have the right to demand that. But if there's no special mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael, then the halach of kfir doesn't apply. According to the Ritva, on the other hand, the halach of kfir and the Chassam Sofer expands on this. The halach of kfir depends not on the mitzvah tlius baretz, but rather on what? On chibas Eretz Yisrael, the inherent kedusha Eretz Yisrael, as it was established to the Avos. And therefore, if you want to apply the principle of kofin bizman hazeh, even though I grant you that the mitzvah tzlius baritz would not apply, but kfir, kofin also would apply by virtue of the inherent kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, which is not dependent upon bizman hazeh and so forth and so on. So that would be the first nafkamina. The proof to the shita of the Chassam Sofer against Tashbates would be the Rambam, because the Rambam doesn't have mitzvah tzlius baritz, at least with the rice of bizman hazeh, but yet he has kofin. The second nafkamina would be how to define the mitzvah of yeshiva be'aretz. According to Tosis, the mitzvah of yeshiva be'aretz should be viewed as a prologue integrated into and part of the mitzvah hatluyos be'aretz. So to the extent to which the mitzvah hatluyos be'aretz apply, to that extent there's a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. There's no independent mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, if bizman hazeh, there's no possibility of fulfilling the mitzvahs hatluyos baritz, and the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael falls by the wayside. Masha enkein, according to Chassam Sofer, and the Ritva spells it out, as long as it's Eretz Yisrael, with Kedusha, with inherent sanctity, chibas haaretz, then by golly you have to live there. And therefore, the Ramban will live in Eretz Yisrael, the Kuzari will live in Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that the mitzvah hatluyos baritz can or cannot apply, or can or cannot be fulfilled. And finally, the third nafkamina is going to be the Isur of Yitziyah. What if you have an area that's outside the bounds of Ole Bavel, and if the Kedusha Shnia, Legabi Mitzvah Tlis Parts, doesn't apply to that area, would there be still an Isur to go out into that area? Can I prohibit, am I enjoined from leaving Eretz Yisrael proper to go to Akko? According to Tosfos, there's no Isur, because I'm not being mafkir myself for the Mitzvah Tlis Parts, because Akko was never settled by Ole Bavel, and therefore doesn't have the Kedusha, Lenya Mitzvah Tlis Parts. But according to the Ritva, and according to the Chassam Sofer, and according to the Marit, there would be an Iser going to Akko, or selling an Evid to Akko, even if I grant you that the Mitzvah Tlis Parts don't apply in Akko, because Akko wasn't settled by Ole Bavel, and therefore wasn't included in Kedusha Shnia, because there's inherent Kedusha in Akko, insofar as Akko is part of the land, the boundaries of the lands of Eretz Yisrael. And here I want to get back to the Zohar that we started. Would Avraham Avinu be able, would he have his halachic license to force Sarah Imenu to come to Eretz Yisrael, even against her will? Or do we have to say, Vayikach Avraham es Sarai ishto lakha bidvar? So I would say the following. If you go to Tashbetz with Tosus, could he force her?
Yeah.
No. Because the Mitzvah Tzlis Parts didn't apply at the time of Avraham Avinu. It's Kodavat and Torah. But if you want to go with the Shita of the Chassam Sofer, and all that we attach to the Chassam Sofer, whether it's the Ritva at the beginning of Gittin, whether it's the Marit and Shuvas, that the halach of Kfiyah doesn't depend and is not related to Mitzvah Tzluyos Baretz, but rather to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, Hadar Eretz Yisrael, and that Kedusha is generated by the Shechina at the time of the Avos, then the halach of Kofin should apply even to Avraham. Unless we go with Rav Avadya Yosef and say that the inherent Kedusha is suspended until after HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, Kum is Halif Baretz, or when he says Haretz Hazos Nasaticha, it's already yours, at that point that engenders the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. But if you insist that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael in its inherent state of Makom HaMiyuchad for Shechina applies certainly from the time of Lech Lecha, and maybe even from the time of Briyas HaOlam, it's amazing that the Sfarno in Parshas Noach says that the Mabul affected all of the world except for Eretz Yisrael. There was no Mabul in Eretz Yisrael, which I don't know what he means by that. Does he mean that Eretz Yisrael already had the Kedusha from the time of the Briyas HaOlam, and therefore the Mabul couldn't affect it? Or maybe he means on the contrary, the entire universe had the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. But once the Mabul fell, the Mabul stripped the entire globe of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael.
Except for Eretz Yisrael.
Eretz Yisrael wasn't affected by the Mabul. The male of the original Makom Shechina, which we expanded to include, to incorporate the entire globe, was now limited to Eretz Yisrael, because the Mabul took away that status from everything but Eretz Yisrael. That's the Sfarno. But certainly, if you go with that approach, then the kasha on the Zohar is very strong, and you might have to go bedochak into the Magen Avraham's territory here, that Aknani Oz Baretz, and therefore it was very dangerous to go there, so therefore Avraham couldn't force Sarah. Yes, the Zohar says therefore Ikhedu Bedvar, he had to persuade her. Alternatively, you might suggest that Avraham Avinu could not force Sarah to make the trek to Eretz Canaan because of the fact that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael... Keep in mind that they already knew they were going to Eretz Canaan, right? Because that we've proven already. What does the Pasuk say? Let's just go back to the Pasuk, and with that we'll conclude. The Pasuk says, Vayikach Avram es Sarai, and the end of the Pasuk says, Vayetsu lo leches Eretz Canaan. I mean, Bedochak Gadol, maybe we could say that there are two parts to this Pasuk. The first part of the Reisha applies is attached to the previous pasuk in the Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. And only at some later stage was it revealed to Avram that he's going to Eretz Canaan. So therefore the halacha of kfiya couldn't apply, because as far as Avram's knowledge was concerned, he was going to a land like any other land. He had no clue of Eretz Canaan. But the best way of going would be certainly the Tashbetz's way, that according to the Tashbetz, since the mitzvahs, Hatulis Baritz, did not apply at the time of the Avos, time of Avram Avinu, therefore the halacha of kfiya didn't apply. Okay, Shkoichu, we'll stop.